I'm sorry.
It's okay. Amen. 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 Father, we just say, have your way this morning. We just say, do what you want to do. We posture our hearts to receive your word today. We posture our hearts to encounter you in the word, to encounter you in just like we encounter you in worship, to encounter you in wherever and however you want to come this morning. We say, thank you, Jesus. We just give everything to you, God. We submit to you. We realize that of our own selves, we can never do anything. But God, with you, all things are possible. So God, we say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This morning word is about transformation. Transformation. It's about us focusing our eyes on Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us into the image of Jesus. So it matters what you focus on. It matters what you give your attention to. It matters what you look at. It matters where you spend your time. Someone said, I think it was Bill Johnson, whatever you worship, because in worship you focus. So whatever you worship, you become. You know, if you worship something that's not godly, that's not of God, then you will become that. Whatever you give your most of your time and your attention to, that's what becomes your influence. That's what determines how you act and what you do. So we want to have our focus on Jesus. We want to worship him. There are two scriptures in the Bible that I know of that teaches us about how to be transformed into the image of Jesus. Transformation is essential. It's essential. If you want to live a victorious life, if you want to fulfill your purpose and your destiny, then you want to be transformed. There are so many Christians that have not yet went through transformation. They got saved, they know they're going to heaven, and that's it. They are satisfied. You know, as long as they know they're going to heaven, they're satisfied. But God wants us not to be satisfied with going to heaven. He wants us to be satisfied with bringing heaven to earth.
Yes.
And we can only do that through transformation. We can only go through transformation through relationship. Relationship is essential for transformation. God desires relationship. He desires us to be close to him. He desires us to be, you know, friends. He desires, Jesus wants to be our friend. He wants to be our Savior and our Lord. But he wants us also to be close to him. Close, intimate relationship. So what is transformation? Transformation is change. It's when you change from one form into another form. The idea of transformation refers to an invisible process in Christians which takes place or begins to take place during their life in this age. Transformation takes place the moment you get born again, or it should. The moment you come to know Christ, you should enter into a process called transformation. Where what? You're being transformed into the image of Jesus. You no longer should want to walk in your old way, the old nature. Because really, now that you're born again, you have a new nature.
Yeah.
Now that you're born again, you're a new man. Amen. But how do I walk in that new man? How do I allow, it's a little bit down, thank you. How do I allow that new man to come out of me? How do I allow people to see Jesus in me instead of the old me? You got transformation. You got to be transformed. You got to be changed from the old way of thinking, the old way of doing, to the new way that's God's way in the kingdom.
Yes.
So transformation is important. If you're having trouble in an area of your life, you're having trouble walking in a certain area of your life, then it's probably because you have not allowed yourself to be transformed in that area. That's all. You haven't allowed transformation to take place. Once transformation takes place, it brings truth.
Yes.
The lies go, yes. And it brings freedom.
Yes.
And then you can walk in that new way that you have been really transformed in your spirit to walk in. So we need transformation. Transformation is important. Let's go to Romans 12:1. Our first scripture about transformation. This is going to probably be a take my time and teach this morning.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Amen. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, by the mercies of God, beseech means to exhort, encourage, or invite. So Paul is saying, I encourage you. I exhort you. I'm inviting you. I'm telling you, what I'm getting ready to tell you is something you really need.
Yeah.
And something I really want you to do.
Yeah.
So he said, I beseech you, by the compassion of God that's in my heart. He said, this is coming from my heart now. It's not something I thought of. I beseech you by the mercies of God. So it's compassion in my heart. It's something that's from God. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The first step in transformation is you got to surrender.
Yes.
You got to surrender. If you don't surrender, you can't be transformed. You got to present your body, surrender your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So what does that mean? Present or surrender your bodies while you're living and breathing. When you die, that's it. You can't really, there's no more transformation on this side when you die. So surrender yourself to God, your body. Surrender your body. I'm not talking about your mind now. Your body. Surrender your body while you're living and breathing. Did you not know you can't do anything in transformation for God or with God without your body? I can't tell my body to stay here, my mind go out yonder and do something. Mm-mm. It's got to be together. My mind and my body got to go together. So whatever, when you pray, your body got to assist you in the praying. So present your body while you're living and breathing to God. Then it says holy. Okay, present your body or surrender your body as set apart and acceptable, pleasing to God, that which God wills and recognizes. Present a body that's holy. Present a body that's set apart. And this is an act of your will. This said, okay, God, this body is your body. It's no more my body, it's your body. So God, this body, while it's living and breathing, it does what you tell this body to do. This body doesn't do what I tell it to do anymore. Because I am denying myself. I am picking up my cross. I'm following you. I am saying, Lord, I love you more than I love me.
Yeah.
And since I love you more than I love me, I'm willing to allow you to use this body to do whatever you want this body to do. If you say this body should get up 5 o'clock in the morning, body, let's get up. If you say body, get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, body, get up. If you say body, you stay home tonight and spend some time with the Lord, body, that's what you got to do. If you say body, you know, take your wife out to dinner, spend some time with your wife, body, this is what you got to do.
Yes.
If he says a wife, cook your husband this fabulous dinner.
Amen.
Just wait on him tonight. Let him feel like a king tonight. Then you might be tired. I had the kids all day, Lord. Lord, you know I had them kids all day. Lord, you know I had a birthday. But his body, God said, do it. So body, you got to do it. And what's so great about that is God will give you grace to do it.
Amen.
God will give you grace to do it. Even for somebody like Tyler going to school, if the Lord say, Tyler, you know you got that test coming up now, you got to study. But Lord, my body wants to play the video games. You got to tell your body, body, no, no. You got to do what God say do. You got to go study, body.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? Tyler can't go study without his body doing it.
That's right.
He can't say, mind, go study. Body, stay here and play the video game. You can't do that. That's not the way it operates. Now, it would be nice if there were two or three of us, but we only got one.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, pleases to God that which God's will and recognizes. Then he says, it's your reasonable service.
Man.
The reasonable service for spiritual worship is to be understood as that service to God which implies intelligent meditation or reflection. Reflection. So it's intelligent to present your body to God. It's an intelligent decision to surrender yourself to the Lord. It's something you think about, and then you will yourself to do it. Let's look at 12:1 in the Passion Translation. It says this, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifice and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Did you not? A genuine expression of worship is surrendering to God, being obedient to him. That's worship. That's worship. When we allow God to have his way in our lives and in our bodies, that's worship.
Amen.
When we surrender to him. And one thing about it, when we surrender to God, do you not know? Your happiest days, your happiest life is doing what God say do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who knows what will make us happy any more than he does? He created us. He made us. He knows what's best for us.
Man.
He knows where our greatest joy comes from.
Yes.
So we need to surrender to him. That's our greatest act of worship to do that. Let's look at Romans 12:2. The New King James Version. And do not be conformed to this world. You know what? If you don't, as an act of your will, allow yourself to be transformed, you're going to automatically be conformed to this world.
Yes.
By default. If you're in a river, if you don't fight to go upstream, if you just relax, you're going to just look downstream. So that's how it is. So conform means to be fashioned like. Don't be conformed in your mind and character to the same pattern as the world.
Man.
Don't allow your mind and your character to be shaped by the world. That's how we were before we got born again. But now that we know Christ, we ought to be clothed with Christ. So don't be conformed to the world. Don't allow yourself to go that way. But what? But be transformed. Be changed into another form, an invisible process that makes something new. Transformation happens on the inside of us. Now your spirit man has already been created in the image of Christ.
Yeah.
You've been made, created in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians says. So you are already new in your spirit man. So transformation happens where? It happens in our soul, which transfers to our body. But it starts with our body being presented on surrender, then that transformation can happen in our soul. So when you transform, you change to another form, an invisible process that makes something new. We want to become that new person we are in our spirit man. By what? How do we do this? By the renewing of your mind. The mind has to be renewed. Some of you have already started renewing your mind. All of us are in different processes or different stages of renewing our mind. But none of us, if you are, just put your hand up and let me see it. None of us are 100% renewed in our mind. Anybody? So we all in process.
Yes.
We all in process of our mind being renewed. But in that process, some are further along than others. All of us are at different places in our transformation. And that's as it should be, because we're individuals. So what about the renewing of your mind? A renewal, renovation, complete change for the better. A renewing or a renovation which makes a person different than in the past. If we are still acting like we did before we got saved, say there has been no renewing of the mind. There has been no transformation of the soul and presenting or surrendering of the body. So what happens is when our mind is renovated or renewed or changed, we're different than what we were in the past. If you have any of that stuff hanging on to you that was hanging on to you in the past, then you need transformation in that area.
Yes.
You need a renewing of your mind in that area.
Yes.
By the renewing of your mind, so what's our mind? Our mind is our thoughts, the way we think, our feelings, our emotions, our will, our understanding. It's our affections, our mode of thinking, our feeling, our disposition, our moral inclination. All of that means when all of this renewal happens, our heart changes. Our heart changes. And if your heart don't change, then you really haven't completed transformation. Mm-hmm. It's not just a thing up here in the head where I know this, I know that. But what do you know here?
Yes.
What do you know in your heart? What it started here when you surrendered yourself to God, and it ended up in your heart. Because only heart transformation brings change and results.
Mm-hmm.
You know you haven't been changed in your heart when you find yourself doing the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. You think you got it, and then you don't have it. You think you got it, and you don't have it. But you haven't been transformed yet.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't went through the transformation in your heart yet. And transformation needs to be in the heart.
Yes.
I remember when I first got saved, and it was like with me, it was like a yo-yo, a bouncing ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I had, and one of the girls gave me a prophetic word, and she said it like this: Ernestine, you take one step forward and two step back. That means when it's like that, you're not really allowing God to do full transformation.
Man.
And I was like a bouncing ball up today, down tomorrow. Day I was hallelujah, praying, and now down in the dumps the next day, you know, because I wasn't being transformed. Nobody told me about transformation. I didn't know what I'm teaching you today. I thought you got saved. Everything was perfect. You were all right. And yeah, I'm going to heaven. And boy, did I have a rude awakening. So transformation has to take place in your heart. If you're still struggling, then you haven't fully been transformed in that area yet. But you don't stop.
Amen.
Do you stop? No.
Amen.
Do you quit? No. Y'all know my motto. We don't quit. We don't stop. We don't quit. We don't stop.
Amen.
Because if you stick with it, stick with the word of God, allow God to work in you and with you, you're going to get transformation.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the word of God does not lie.
Thank you, Father.
That word will change you and set you free.
Thank you.
And then whom the Son set free, what is free indeed.
Amen.
So we don't quit. We don't stop. We don't give up. But it has to be of the heart. And why do we need to be transformed by the word of God? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are you going to know that the word of God really works? That the word of God really is powerful? How are you going to know for yourself? You know, Mary could tell me that the word of God works. But just Mary telling me, I don't know it. I just know what Mary said. But if I renew my mind, and allow the word of God to work for me, and let it prove out itself to me, then now I'm like the woman at the well. And the men told her, she told us, but now we know for ourselves because we went and saw. So now we know the word of God works because what? I allow the word of God to change me. I got a testimony. I used to be here, but now I'm here. I used to be in bondage, but now I'm free. I'm a different person. I don't act the same way. Now I can be who I am in Christ Jesus, in my spirit man. So transformation is important so that you will know what God wants and will agree that what he wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed. We got to know the word of God works. And the only way we're going to know it works is when we allow the word of God to work in us and through us and allow ourselves to be transformed. Romans 12:2 in the Passion Translation says this: stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you. Stop imitating the ideas and the culture and opinion of the culture around you. And we got a whole bunch of stuff trying to get our attention around us now. We got a whole lot of opinions going on. Whole lot of worldly stuff going on. But what does the word of God say? Not the opinion of the news. Some folks watch CNN news like they would watch somebody preaching the word on whatever. I mean, they got to have that news every day, every hour. They got to know what's going on. But what I want to know is, what do you know about what God said? What do you know about the word of God? What is God saying about this? What is God saying today? So we can't allow the opinion and cultures around us to transform, we can't imitate that. But the Passion Translation says, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. How we think has to be totally changed. Totally changed. Excuse me, y'all. It makes a difference if a person got saved when they were 4 years old, grew up in a Christian home, parents took them to church, they hear the true word of God, the true gospel, than a person that maybe got saved in their 20s or 30s.
Yes. Amen.
The four-year-old didn't have the exposure to get their mind all into the world's way of thinking. The 20 and 30-year-old had plenty of time to get their mind full of the way the world thinks. So it's going to take more for that 20 or 30-year-old to get their mind transformed than the four-year-old.
Amen.
All the four-year-old knows is the Lord. Mm-hmm. They might, there are people that actually got saved when they were 4 years old, or five, or six. Mm-hmm. All they know is the Lord. So their transformation doesn't have to be like ours, because all that junk ain't in there like it's in our mind. The more you got in your mind, the more you need to be transformed. The process is going to might be longer with you being transformed than somebody else. That's why we should never want compare ourselves to each other.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't compare your progress to somebody else's.
Yeah.
Don't compare your spiritual growth by somebody else.
Yeah.
If you want to do a comparison, look at Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let him be your focus.
Yeah.
Let him be your aim.
Yes.
And not somebody else.
That's a good word.
And so we want, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern. Discern means to see and know. To see and know God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. So that's being transformed by the word of God. You need the word of God to be transformed. Let's look at another scripture that tells us about transformation. 2 Corinthians 3, we're going to start at 3:16 and go to 3:18. Corinthians 3:16, and we're going to go to 3:18. And I'm going to read it for the King James Version. And in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, it talks about Moses. It talks about the children of Israel. It talks about the fact that the children of Israel had a veil over their eyes and they couldn't see. And that veil was the law. They couldn't see Christ as a savior. They couldn't receive him as a savior as long as they had that veil over their eyes. And it talks about how Moses, when he was in the glory of the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights, how the glory of God changed his face. And Moses' face shone with the glory of God. And the children of Israel were afraid to look on Moses' face. And so Moses put a veil over his face to keep them from being afraid, but also because the glory faded off of Moses' face. And Paul was saying in this chapter that till today, as far as the children of Israel are concerned, the nation of Israel, even today, the nation of Israel still has that veil over their eyes. Because the nation, as a nation, they have not yet accepted Christ as the Messiah. And so verse 16 starts like this. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, so there has to be a turning to the Lord. When you present your body or surrender your body as a living sacrifice, you are what? Turning to the Lord. When you have something you know you need to overcome or be transformed about your thinking in, when you turn, you got to turn to the Lord. You got to turn to him. So nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, when you surrender your body as a sacrifice, you are turning to God. You are turning to the Lord. Jesus is Lord, and we ought to turn everything to him. Turn to everything he accomplished for us on the cross and resurrection. Turn to everything that Jesus accomplished to you. Turn to that. Turn to that. Turn to that. We do this by turning to him and his word. We also need to turn to him in worship. And when we turn, when you turn to him, if you're sick, turn to the word that says by his stripes you're healed.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're in bondage and need to be set free, turn to the word that said in him we have victory. And whom the Jesus said free is free indeed. Turn to whatever scripture that tells you who you are in that situation.
Amen.
The Bible said, let the weak say they're strong. If you think you're weak, turn to being strong, because that's who you are. So you turn. You turn to his word. And when you turn, the scripture said, the veil is taken away. When you turn, what lies are taken away? When you turn to Jesus, the bondage is taken away. When you turn to him, the sickness is taken away. The weakness is taken away. The carnality goes. The sexual bondage goes. The alcohol and drug addiction goes. When you turn, what? To Jesus. That veil of lies is taken away. It's taken away. It's taken away. It's taken away. It's taken away. Amen. Tissue, have a tissue, man. So it's taken away. When you turn to Jesus, it's taken away. See, a lot of times we don't want to turn to him. Sometimes we think we can figure it out on our own. Sometimes we think that we can fix this on our own. Sometimes we think we can do it by ourselves. And a lot of times, and I told y'all this before, we try to do it by ourselves. But you can't do it by yourself. You got to turn to the Lord. You got to turn to his word. And then the veil, then whatever it is that's keeping you from seeing the truth will be taken away. A veil is a covering. It's something that's hiding the truth from you. It's keeping you from seeing what you need to see to be free. And sometimes it's just as simple as seeing that, okay, Jesus died for you. He's already paid for this. So you are free. And sometimes the man just taking our position and saying, okay, I'm a child of God. I've been given victory in this area. I am bigger than this because of Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Father.
I have strength over this because of Jesus. I can overcome this, or I have already overcome it in Christ.
Amen.
So I can overcome it what? Physically.
Amen.
I can overcome it physically. I can walk in the truth because that's who I am in Christ Jesus. Then what? That veil is taken away. That veil is taken away. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:17. So what do? We turn to the Lord. When we turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Then 17 tells us, now the Lord is the Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Jesus and Holy Spirit are one. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When you think about creation, God initiated creation. He spoke the word. That was Jesus. Yeah. Holy Spirit brought everything, made everything happen.
Yeah.
So they work together. So they work together. Now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Thank you, Father.
There is freedom. One is liberated. Bondages can fall off during worship and ministry to the Lord. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about renewing the mind with the word of God.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 3, 16, 17, and 18 actually talk about what would happen if you will, in spirit and truth, worship God, minister to him. It's more than one way to be transformed. We really should be doing both. We really should expect God to, we really should expect to encounter God in worship.
Amen.
And when you encounter God, then those bondage, the Holy Spirit begin to work in your heart.
Yeah.
He begin to show you stuff you need to be liberated from. He begin to show you stuff you need to do. And then as you turn to the Lord and say, okay, God, I agree with you, then the Holy Spirit would free you, liberate you from all that junk. I remember some years ago, too, that every Saturday at 4 o'clock, me and a friend of mine would go to a place that we could go to, and we would worship. I would go there sometime, even if she wasn't there, and I would put on worship music, and I would just worship God.
Mm-hmm.
I would just worship and spend time with God. The kids were still going up there, and my husband was there, so this is a place I could go and just worship him.
Mm-hmm.
And spend time with him. And as I worship him, as I put on the worship music, and as I worship him, and I sung the songs, and I prayed, and just ministered to the Lord, I wasn't asking for anything. I just was enjoying Jesus.
Amen.
Just enjoying him. And as I ministered to him and enjoyed Jesus, then the Holy Spirit began to move. He would begin to show me stuff in my heart. He would begin to show me areas where he wanted to come in and make a renovation. He would show me areas where he wanted to come in to set me free in. He would begin to show me areas where I needed to allow him to come in and deal with. See, that's what I'm talking about here. You can do the same thing when you're reading the word of God, but it should be in worship. We just don't, worship is not just a time for us to hear good music. When you're at home and you minister to the Lord, that's not just a good time for you to tell God about everything you need. What about just allowing God to enjoy you?
Yeah.
Allowing Holy Spirit to minister you, as you minister to him, he ministers to you. Allow him to shine a light in your heart to show you what needs to be changed, to show you what he wants to do in your heart. If you allow him to do that, you will see him changing you.
Mm-hmm.
You will see him liberating your heart from certain stuff. And you'll go out from there and be living your life and wonder, why am I living so free now?
Yeah.
Why is that stuff I used to be a bondage to not bother me anymore? Why am I not doing the same thing I used to do now? It's because you allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and liberate you in your heart. You're not just memorizing scripture. But you're engaging with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will bring back scriptures you meditated on,
mm-hmm.
that you read. Holy Spirit will bring that scripture back to you. He'll bring it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
He'll bring it back to you. You can praise your way to victory. Just like he can renew your mind to victory and freedom. I've already quoted John 8:32 and 36, but I'm going to do it again. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If the sons make you free, Son make you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen.
All of you have had encounters with the Lord. All of you had encounters with the Holy Spirit. When you got born again and got saved, that was an encounter with the Lord. And then along the way, we've had other encounters with God. Mm-hmm. And an encounter with God is just a face-to-face with God. It's those times when you have a face-to-face with God. Everything's laid bare.
Mm.
You're not, well, you can't hide anything.
Mm.
But you just come and you lay everything open before him. You let God see everything there is to see. And in that process, Holy Spirit will begin to take off stuff that needs to go. Mm-hmm. He'll begin to take off stuff that needs to go.
Amen.
And that's transformation. That's transformation. Transformation by renewing your mind. And transformation by what? Being in the presence of God and encountering God and allowing Holy Spirit to liberate you from things you need to be liberated from in your heart. Let's go to the last verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Tells us how it should be. But we all with unveiled face, not hiding anything, not trying to keep anything from God, not allowing anything to cloud our view. An unveiled face, a face-to-face, an open face with the Lord. An open face to have no veil or nothing keeping us from seeing and knowing and receiving. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. When you come face-to-face with the Lord, face to face with Holy Spirit, face to face with him, even in the Word of God. As you read the Word of God, if you allow that Word to be face to face with you. Face to face means, look, I'm here. This could be God right here, okay? Face to face.
Amen.
That's how I close. Face to face. Nothing hiding us from him. Nothing keeping us from seeing what he wants us to see. Nothing keeping us from him from doing what he wants to do in us. Face to face. Face to face. Just like in a mirror. And you go look in a mirror to see what needs to be fixed. But this is talking about as a mirror. Face to face as a mirror. When you look in that mirror, you're face to face with it. You're face to face with the mirror. So just like you're face to face as a mirror, that's how we should be face to face with the Lord. With his word, with Holy Spirit. When Holy Spirit draws near to you, don't draw back. Don't draw back. When the word of God began to speak to you, don't draw back.
Amen.
When God began to touch your heart about something, don't draw back. That's some of those face-to-face encounters that God want to have with you. Don't be afraid, because sometimes flesh will get afraid. Sometimes we don't want to see what's in our heart. Sometimes we don't want to see the problem. We don't want to see what's there, but don't be afraid, but allow Holy Spirit to bring you face to face with that thing. Unveiled face, face to face. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, to perceive through sight or apprehension, to gaze upon. So what are you seeing in those face to face encounters with God, whether it's in the word of God or in prayer or in worship? What are you seeing? Not yourself, but the glory of God, the scripture said.
Amen.
Some people have taught you seeing yourself, your new creation self, but that's not really what it's saying. It says you're seeing the glory of the Lord. I mean, we're the glory of the Lord, so you could say it that way. But what are you seeing? Not yourself, but the glory of the Lord. You're seeing what? God's thought about that. You're seeing God's opinion. You see in God's judgment. You see in God's view. Whatever it is you're face to face with God with, God will begin to show you his opinion of that thing. It could very well be you. And God might want to show you the opinion of you. But God began to show you him and his opinion and glory. And there's all, and God's glory is what? Absolutely true and unchangeable. Is God's opinion that matters? Is God's value on things that matters? Not our opinion. In the book of Exodus, I think it was, Moses told the Lord, said, God, if your presence don't go with me, then I don't want to go. We should be the same way. God, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go.
Amen.
I don't want to go nowhere you're not going to be. So Moses said, God, if you don't go, I don't want to go. Then Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory, Lord, what Moses said. And in Exodus 33:19, this is what God said to Moses after Moses said in 18 to show me your glory. It said, then he said, Exodus 33:19, then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So God said his glory was his goodness. So if we come before him with unveiled face, encounter him, and we begin to, he began to show us his glory. So according to that scripture, what's God's going to do? He's going to show us his goodness.
Thank you.
He's going to show us his goodness. We encounter him and be face to face with him. He's going to show us his goodness.
Yes.
He's going to show us his goodness because his glory is his goodness. His glory is his goodness. And then once we what? Once we behold his glory, behold his goodness, then the next scripture is so, so good. It says we are being transformed into the same image. Amen. That same goodness you saw, you being transformed into that goodness of God. And then you can walk in that goodness. People can see that goodness through you. You can go out and share that goodness with others.
Yeah.
You can be God's goodness to somebody else. Because you're being transformed into that same goodness, that same image that God showed you. You're being transformed into that. You're being transformed into that. And then the next part of that verse is, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So that lets me know it's not a one-time thing. It's a process. The more I go to the Word and see his goodness, the more I'm changed. The more I encounter him in worship and see his goodness, the more I'm changed. The more I do that, the more I'm changed from glory to glory to glory. It keep on happening. It never stops. We keep on changing into the goodness of God, into who he is and who he wants us to be, because we are in his image and he wants to walk and talk like him. Yeah. The people don't even know it. Us, they said, oh, they look just like Jesus.
Yeah.
They sound like Jesus. They sound like something I don't know. Thursday, a young lady came to my house, and she's the same lady that her and her husband bought the house. And when I sold my house, they bought my house. And I had some mail come there. She wanted to bring me the mail. And she brought me the mail, and she came in, and she sat down and stayed the longest time.
Mm.
Now, she's Catholic. And I believe some Catholics are born again.
Yes, they are.
And she knows that I'm a Christian. And I don't believe, you know, the Catholic doctrine. But she stayed, and she stayed, and she stayed. So I'm thinking, okay, I guess she saw Jesus. And the more she saw Jesus, the more she wanted to stay. So finally I told her, I said, I got something I got to do. And so she did, she left, but she's the sweetest little thing. She's, I guess, about 24, 26, something like that. She wanted to tell me they were getting ready to have a baby. They bought my house, and now they're pregnant.
Aww.
They're going to have a baby. And I told her, I said, well, I don't have any great grandchildren. And I said, I guess maybe I have some. She said, well, this could be your great grandbaby if you want. You can come over and play the baby in time to get ready. So, but we want people to be drawn to us. I remember Greg Moore saying how he was drawn to someone. And it wasn't because the person was Christ in that person. We want to be like that. We want to be like that. So we encounter the goodness of God that others are drawn to us because of Christ. And they can see Christ in our life. So what? It's our job to gaze and focus and behold. That's our job. Our job is to gaze, to focus, and behold the Lord in the word, in worship, in meditating him. That's our job. And then it's the Holy Spirit's job to transform us into his image. Our job is simple. Our job is not hard, but it takes time and effort. It takes time and effort. We can't transform ourselves. Our job is just to gaze, to focus, and behold in the word of God, the Lord Jesus. When you read the word of God, look for Jesus. See what Holy Spirit is saying about Jesus. And behold and gaze on him. And then the Holy Spirit's job is to what? To change us into that image, to transform us into the image of God. I'm closing. I'm going to read what 2 Corinthians 3:18 Amplified Bible says. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and all of us with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured or transformed or changed into his very own image in an ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Transformation is essential. But if we just do what the word of God tells us to do, then the Holy Spirit will transform us. We'll be changed. We've already been changed. We need to constantly still be changed. We need to continue to be changed by the word of God and the Spirit of God. By the word, and also by spending time to minister unto the Lord, to worship him in spirit and in truth, having those face-to-face encounters with the Lord. And I'm going to say this again because I've done it, and I know y'all have done it, and we all have done it, but we don't want to stop doing it. Do not draw back from Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Do not draw back from Holy Spirit. It might be uncomfortable at first when he's digging into a part of your heart that you tried to hide or you put a protective wall around, but don't draw back. Allow Holy Spirit to go there.
Yeah.
Allow him to go there. Because if he go there, he's going to bring transformation. He's going to bring transformation. And that's what we need in order to walk into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand.